What's good? You are now tuned into the Man Stash Podcast.
What up, Stashers? It is your boy Polo Pool, the host of the Man Stash Podcast. It is a new day, a new week, and a new month. So to all my listeners out there, I want to, you know, say happy Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. And we're going to delve deep into episode 4, The Man and Father That I Am Today. This discussion will be revolving around fatherhood, parenting, and the absence of fathers within the household. Starting off with this episode, I want to do a big shout out to all of the listeners and supporters that have followed me from day one or episode one up until now. Thank you for sharing my podcast. Thank you for sharing the links. You can also give me feedback as well, or maybe some topics or issues or discussions that you would like me to bring up in future episodes. The more that you support, the more content that I will provide. But on a consistent basis, you will always get something from me every single Monday. So salute to y'all out there, and thank you once again. So my information is going to be coming from the National Fatherhood Initiative. You can also research this information and look at the stats through their website. And the website is going to be fatherhood.org. And this is the National Fatherhood Initiative. So the first stat will be this one right here. So in 19.7 million children, or 1 in 4 children, live without a father within the household, which results in 4 times the greater risk of poverty. They're more likely to have or acquire behavioral problems and issues. They're more likely to go to prison. They're more likely to commit a crime. They're 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen if you're a female child or daughter. More likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. You're twice as more likely to suffer from obesity, and you're twice as more likely to drop out of high school. Now, even though I have listed these, facts from this website, I wouldn't say the absence of the father will be directly these results. It could be a plethora of them, or some that doesn't affect you. And first and foremost, I just want to say for those that did not have a father within our household, I share your same pain. And I just want to let you guys know that it's okay. Just try to be the better you. And I hope and pray that you come to a sense or a place of peace where you can just let that sense of abandonment go. We all have our issues, qualms, or quarrels with the absence or lack thereof within our lives. And it's, you know, it hurts and it's very, very deep rooted. And sometimes it's not fully addressed until things start to hit the fan. And just to kind of give you a better visual instead of just, you know, facts and statistics, I'm going to use an analogy of a car. The car will be basically the household, right? So just envision yourself, you know, you do a big flex up and you just got you a brand new vehicle, fresh off the lot. You drive that bad boy, you know, off the lot. It has all the bells and whistles that you've asked for or it's required of you. And everything is fully functional. Before you go home, you intend to, you know, flex on your friends or family members or loved ones real quick and just show them, you know, the blessings that you just got today. Now, the destination or the road that you're taking is a back road. You don't have any pit stops. You don't have any gas stations. You don't have any car service related establishment. You know, it's just a straight shot to the dealership and to your destination. And what happened is that the dealer did not inform you that there's no oil within the car. And in this case, we're going to represent the oil as the absence of the father. right? And we all know that, you know, every 3 months or every 3,000 miles, you need that oil change. Not saying, you know, every 3 months or every 3,000, you know, miles or hours, let's say, you need to change out a new male role model. But just the presence of, you know, just that rejuvenation, that fresh presence, that will continuously help that vehicle run, you know, allow that household to run efficiently and effectively. Now, you don't have any oil in that car and you're driving, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands of miles to your destination, right? And we're on the road to success. We all want to be successful. We all want to be happy. We want to be in a place of peace, serenity, and accomplishment, right? And that's the destination that we're trying to head to. But unfortunately, after, let's say, you know, the 300th mile, that engine start to, you know, you start to hear it, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, working a little bit harder. It's trying to overcompensate for the lack of lubrication or the lack of oil within the car. Now, with that engine starting to overheat, it trickles to other things, you know, such as maybe the radiator, the gaskets, the alternator, the battery, the timing belt, et cetera, et cetera. And on your dashboard, next thing you know, you see the check engine light come on. Next thing you know, you see the, you know, thermometer notification come on. And all of these notifications on your dashboard are going to be those insecurities and issues and problems that you start to succumb within yourself. You start to internalize that issue, whether you try to fill that gap with something, or maybe your parents try to overcompensate and they start to burn out because they're putting so much energy onto, you know, compensating for the absence of that father. Or, you know, you start to self-reflect and say, you know, why haven't my father or that male role model loved me enough to be consistent or stay within my life? Or it could be a thing of, why am I not good enough? What qualities and characteristics of me that's not allowing this role model to stay within my life? These are some tough and deep questions that we all probably question ourselves, whether it was based off of abandonment anxiety, rejection, depression. And these are all the notifications that's up on that dashboard. But again, as I stated with this previous scenario, you don't have any help. You know, it's either you're from the dealership straight to your destination. You're just on the road to success, right? And you're trying to get there. You're working extremely hard within the household. And it's starting to trickle down into, you know, other things. It could be trickling down to your work. It could be trickling down to your love life. It could be trickling down to your finances. Even on an introspective aspect, it could be, you know, messing with you physically, emotionally, mentally, right? And that engine just, you know, is just working harder and harder and harder. And next thing you know, the engine blows and the entire car, or in this case, the household, becomes inoperable. Not saying that it can't work anymore, but it's going to take a hell of a lot of work to get that thing up and running. Whether it's time or money, it's going to take some work. And not saying that you have to do the same within your lives, but I was just trying to give you a brief, you know, visualization. I'm so tongue-tied, I apologize. A brief visualization of what it could be. And I know for me, I've struggled with the absence of my father, not being there for a real long time. And I had so much pent up anger because I try to do everything that I possibly could be as far as being a good kid, a good son. And it wasn't enough, you know, me getting into sports. I tried to, you know, make myself busy, you know, do busy stuff to get my mind. Maybe I can redirect my energies into that. And still, it just wasn't enough. You know, I wanted, you know, someone to sit down with me, you know, guide me into the man or father that I wanted to become someday. And I didn't have that. So I seeked and looked elsewhere, whether if it was with intimate relationships or, you know, friendships or events and things that might not been the best of choices. But whatever rhyme or reason, I'm just blessed and so grateful and thankful that I'm still here today. And I have learned from that. And I just hope that I may influence my children to be better than I was. And I think we all, as parents, want the best for our children. And we want to establish that we want their upbringing to be better than ours were. And even though that, you know, we might have these issues of abandonment, I wouldn't say my childhood was all bad, because it wasn't. I had, you know, wonderful, great moments, but that was a very huge part of my life that was missing, for sure, you know, most definitely. And, you know, just bringing this back to full circle, you know, I am a full-fledged adult with children. I have three beautiful boys and a gorgeous daughter. And each day, you know, I'll either talk to them or listen to them or just watch them grow. And they're grown into their own. Each of them are very driven. They all have very interesting personalities, and you have to adhere and cater to each of those personalities individually. However the case may be, even though as an individual you have to cater to that, I think there's still a general blanket of foundation and framework that needs to be addressed or utilized and instilled in children, not just my own, but I think just across the board, to ensure that our children become successful. And that's just being not just with, you know, all the riches in the world or married and anything like that, but just being an upright, good citizen. I think you can go a long way with being polite, being courteous, and then the other characteristics and qualities and traits, as far as being goal-driven, determined, and really seeking out education and knowledge, and being wise within your actions and understanding the consequences that may come from those actions, are very paramount. But again, drawing back to this conversation and discussion, I want to ensure that this episode is purely off of, you know, fatherhood and parenting. And as I stated before, again, we all try to instill or bring down the framework. And I think there isn't a book on how to be the best or the greatest father that you possibly can be. But I think there's kind of a common understanding of what a father should do and should be. And these are some of the things that I have learned over my years of being a seasoned father now. But, you know, whether you're an expecting father or a seasoned father or a father that just sent off his child, you know, off to college, his last child off to college, I think you can still utilize these tools. Any time is the right time. But if you just, you know, say it's too late, then you're absolutely wrong. So after the break, I will definitely break down each, every one of these tips, tools, and trades to be the best father that you possibly can be. It doesn't take away from the work and love and struggle that you did to make your child successful. Not at all. But I just want to make sure that, you know, all our men out here are just on the same page, and the ladies, or, you know, mothers or significant others that's out here with children, you can chime in as well. So that way, maybe if you have a potential suitor and you're, you know, a single parent with kids and you start dating, maybe these are some qualities and characteristics that you want to look for, because now you're a package deal. Not saying it's a bad thing at all. And it's just, that's the way the cookie crumbles right now. And, you know, just be on the lookout, because you don't want to bring your child or bring anyone around your child or children that's going to be in any negative influence. upon them, and it's paramount. You, like I stated, the statistics today, and this not meaning the father is just out of the house or gone, completely out of the picture. They could be, you know, right there in front of your face, but if they're not adhering or they're not utilizing their tools and leadership skills and being the head of the household in several aspects, then it's kind of like that's just another mouth that you're feeding. So, whatever the case may be, let's go ahead and just knock out this break, and I'll get right back to you with these tips, tools, and trades on how to be the best father and man that you possibly can be to these, you know, to your child or children. Bow.
Mash Toss Podcast.
And we back. So what's going on? Again, I am Polo Poole, the host of the Mastaz Podcast. I hope that you tuned into the first half of this episode, and I pray and hope that you guys continue to listen to this next half, which I'll be delving deep into the tips, tools, and trades into being the best father that you can possibly be. Even if you don't have any children yourself, I feel as though if you have any influence on any children out there, and I hope that you do, I hope that it's positive and that this framework that I'll be relaying out to you guys will help you increase your influence, leadership, and guidance in regards to the betterment of, you know, children out here. So first and foremost, number one, the father is protective, right? He's the provider. He protects and uplifts. But first and foremost, he protects his kids by drawing clear boundaries and, like, he considers the best interests and teach them things and makes them aware of their actions and consequences. We always want to, you know, instill right and wrong and discern different events or occurrences that might happen in their lives, whether at a young age or when they're full-fledged adults, and ensure that they make the right choices and be mature about it. But again, it all comes from you. The second one is affection. Affection is a huge role within both parents, but it's a special place for dads, because sometimes it's not the hug or the kisses that you know, they are desiring from you, but it could just be that you instill or ensure that the children or child know that they can count on you at any time, whether it's with, you know, for guidance or advice, with love or anything like that. The nurturing part, you know, of course, you will stem or come from the mother or the other significant other, but you always want to ensure that you stay consistent in regards to knowing that they can always count on you no matter what the cause, right? Number three, I would say, will be creating a wall of trust and security. And it's kind of piggybacking off of the affection. You want to instill that you are always there whenever, at any time, at any place, when they are in need or trouble. I think as any parent, you want your child to come to you, but you have to kind of establish, like, that open door policy that you won't judge them in any rhyme or reason, no matter what, you know, the cause or the situation or circumstances may be. But you want to have that comfortable and great rapport that they can open up to you and talk about anything, because if they don't with you or the other parent, then who? And you don't want your child to succumb to the wrong information or the wrong advice, and they just go down the spiraling abyss of making the wrong choices and decisions, right? And again, for number four, I would say you want to be the source of encouragement. Your words will either make them or break them. And I think with each of these steps, they coincide with one another, and it makes it a very sound kind of list. but you want to continuously pour into them. You know, tell them how great they are. You know, if they're, you know, if it's a daughter, you know, you want to instill how beautiful and gorgeous they are, that you matter. You're amazing. You have great skills and needs that, you know, many people will draw to you, but you want to, you know, sift through that. A lot of, you know, women or young ladies today try to seek, you know, different attention from, you know, multiple sources, but instead of reflecting or, you know, looking within themselves, they try to get it from an external use. And not saying it's a good or bad thing, but you want to feel recognized, acknowledged, and appreciated from yourself. You want your child to love themselves, especially with these young ladies out here, because if they don't love themselves, or if any child, whether it's a, you know, daughter or a son, then they will try to fill that gap or that void elsewhere. And sometimes it usually is, you know, in a negative way or harmful to them, and they don't recognize it. Number five, let's see. I would say you want to have the patience to listen. Now, going back to, you know, creating that wall of trust and security and affection, again, you want to, you know, instill that you have that open door of that open door policy of unconditional love, appreciation, and acknowledgement. So whatever the case may be, if they, you know, get into, you know, some trouble or they done some wrong things that might be hurtful or disappointing to you, you want to take the time out of your busy schedule. Yes, you're the head of the household, you got bills and other things as far as work, the spouse that you want to adhere and address, you know, straight off the gate. But listen out to your kids, man. You know, sometimes they'll tell you things without you realizing how powerful these things are. I try to listen to my kids, you know, every day, and you don't want to dismiss them regardless of how young they are, because whatever they're trying to convey to you should be extremely important that you take the time out to listen, analyze, assess, you know, what's going on, and then try to articulate the best way to encourage them with love, affection, respect, and still protect them in a certain way, you know. And let's see, the next one, I would say you want to provide the necessities of life. As stated for number one of my list, you know, with the protection, it goes hand in hand with this one as well, because yes, you know, you want to ensure that your household or your children have food on the table, clothes on the back, and a roof over their head. But it's some other things internally and externally that you want to ensure that they're not getting elsewhere. You know, you want it to come from you. You want to be the source of all knowledge, of all tricks, of all advice, because you're the head of the household. You're the leader, and you exude a plethora of wisdom and knowledge and love that they couldn't get from anybody else. And if they do, not saying that that makes you less than, but you want to work on that yourself, because you have the ultimate responsibility to give to your kids, you know, a decent living, in every aspect, food, clothing, security, love, or attention. Okay. Number seven will be, you want to honor and respect the mother of your children. And this will ensure that you are showing some honor, respect, teamwork through a loving relationship. Now, it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship if you guys are not together. But, you know, even if you are, you want to show that positive synergy between you guys to, you know, ensure that hey, you have to have some, you have to establish some type of common ground, whether it's with compromise, any type of disagreement, dispute, issue, or topic throughout your household. You want to create that picture or make it kind of natural that you guys are on the same page, you're on the same team, and you both want to win. Not only will this provide a great foundation and pillar for, you know, your child or children, but it will show you what love looks like. And you want your child or children to be in relationships that exude these qualities, characteristics, and traits. Because you never want your kid to hurt, and you don't want your child to hurt someone else. And that could be either mentally, physically, or emotionally, or, you know, any aspect. It could be even financially, other things, but that's a different, you know, discussion that I'll adhere or address in a following episode. But let's, you know, move on. Number 8 is going to be spending time with you will be fun for them. You want to ensure that every moment, every second, every minute, every day of their long living lives, that they are having fun with you. You don't want them to dread your dad coming to, you know, coming home from work, you know, tired and exhausted. You know, try to take out the time to have that quality presence and effort to, you know, make moments, create moments and times for them to really appreciate you and understand that, yes, you know, my father do all these things, but he always takes the time out for me. You never want your child to feel neglected or abandoned or rejected in any form, shape, or fashion. And number 9, which is a big one for me, is you want to be the best teacher. And I think it sums up all of the quality, characteristics, and traits that I have listed previously, because I feel as though a father teaches lessons not just for academics, but about life. He shows how children can channelize their emotions when met with like failure or disappointment, or how they can use their energy for good. Or how they can use their energy for their good, how they can plan their career or study hours or whatever point or milestone in their lives that they're at. If we sum up all of these characteristics that are previously stated of a father, we can understand that all of them arise from the man's involvement and interest in his child's life. The father involvement varies with the stage of each and every point and milestone of his fatherhood. And you might ask me, well, Polo Pool, we know that you have kids and you definitely try to support and uplift the black man in regards to being a better father or a better parent. But, you know, what makes you... you know, the man that you are today. And like I stated previously, earlier in this episode, that my biological father wasn't there. And, you know, I might have delved deep into, you know, some poor choices and decisions within my life. And, you know, it kind of spiraled out of control at one point, where I didn't know where my up and down or my left or right was coming from, and I had to readjust and orient myself onto a better path, because at the end of the day, I wanted to be a better me, not for the sake of, you know, my children, but I want to be a leader, not just with my household, but within the community. One of the reasons why I created this podcast, I see so many school shootings, oppression, police or racial profiling, or crimes targeting the black community, especially the black man or young black man. And I see so many of our children getting hurt and killed, mistreated, misunderstood, and not saying that it's due to the absence of a father, but I feel as though the influence the time and involvement that a father has within their child's life is extremely paramount and provides that safety net and cover for protection. Now, of course, parents can't protect their children from every single thing that's there out there in the world. But for me personally, I try to treat every day as a learning experience. And I've gone through so much in my life as far as trials and tribulations, hardships and hindrances, where, yes, I don't want that for my children, but I still want them to understand that nothing's for free. You have to get out here and grind it. You have to, put in the grind, the hard work, the determination, the drive, the ambition to be a better you. A lot of situations and circumstances succumb or fall onto the crutch of they might have been bored. Maybe the household was in disarray, disoriented in regards to the father and the mother might have some discourse or disagreements, and they, continuously clash. And these are the red flags that I've stated previously as far as on that dashboard. You never want to instill the wrong things in your children, and sometimes they are unintentional, but we always have to get to the root cause of these situations and circumstances. But the list that I gave you guys out today, I feel as though this is a great framework and a benefit, not only to be a better father or a better man, but just being a better you. If you don't have any children in your life, you can still utilize these tools and tips within your life to just continuously working on you. I'm all about, positivity and uplifting and supporting. But to go back to the question of, what makes you the father that you are today, or the man that, are today, I would just say my struggle. I've had, a lot of hurt, in my life, and I don't want my children or anyone to hurt or suffer in any form or fashion. I want everyone to thrive and flourish. And one of the things that happens when you're in a tough upbringing is that you get the natural instinct of survival mode. And it's tough to get out of it when that's all you know. And when you get into relationships, whether it's with friendships, mutual platonic relationships, whether intimately or not, it takes a toll on the other person, and it's not fair to them to receive that survival mode. You want to thrive in life. You don't want to survive, because survival, you isolate yourself, you protect yourself no matter what the cause or situation or circumstance that you're in, because that's all that you have. And it's a scary place to be, and it took me a while to get there as far as getting out of it and realizing that, hey, you don't have to, be so, coarse, so harsh or brash or direct. Sometimes it's all about tact, but you don't learn these things until you create different relationships and experiences where you go into through this perpetual cycle of depreciation of yourself. Going back to the car, say the engine blows, you had all these issues and you're trying to work on yourself, and when you might want to trade in the car, fix it up, the value of that car is not diminished, but it's lowered. And that's what happens when you get into survival mode. You get all these traumas and tribulations and hardships and hindrances, just hitting you every single time, and it's depreciating your self-worth, your self-love, the positivity in yourself. And you start to build up certain walls around your heart, your mind, your body, your spirit. And it's hard for anyone to penetrate through that. And you have to come to a self of realization and acceptance of all things that happen in your life. And you have to sit down and really say, how can I make a good out of it? And that's the man that I am today. I hope that this episode will reach maybe just one gentleman out there, or maybe one mother, to really understand the perspective of a father, or what a father should be, or what you want as far as a significant other in relation to your child or children. Again, I am your host, Polo Pol. You can contact me on Instagram at The Mastash Podcast, or you could email me The Mastash Podcast, all one word, at gmail.com. and for my listeners out there, if you go to the anchor.fm app and type in The Mastash Podcast, there is a tab for voice messages. If you want to give me some feedback or you want to bring up a discussion, it won't be published to the general public. It will be directly to me, and I love, you know, feedback, constructive criticism, or maybe you just want to, you know, support, you know, uplift the kid. I would greatly appreciate it. You don't know how much it would mean to me, but I would just love that so much. So without further ado, I want to say happy Monday once more. I hope that this message and this podcast traveled through your airwaves and your radios, your phones, tablets, or any electronic devices, and carry you throughout this week until the next episode. This Thursday, I will be promoting the next episode. I don't know the title or topic yet, but if you do, don't be afraid to, you know, send me a like, a message, or email in regards to what topics and or discussions you would like. But be safe, be aware, and stay positive. Pull out. God bless. Bow.
I love you, Daddy.